hath brought me safe thus far, and grace will lead me on the last verse. When we've been there 10,000 years, bright shining as the sun, we've no less days to sing God's praise than when we first begun.
Amen. You may be seated. Think of that. Again, I love that song. It's got a little bit of heaven in there. And that's where we're going. And 10,000 years don't begin to begin it again. And I love, again, to just think a little bit about heaven. Here we are on the first day of 2017. So let's open our Bibles to 1 John. I've got a whole series that I want to go ahead and emphasize this month at least. And then comes February, and we'll be looking at some of the same qualities in our home. But I want to look at our relationships just a little bit here today. But not so much so that you could fix your relationships. We'll work on that again maybe in February. But even here from our text, I want that we would work on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. Your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. You know, everything in life hinges on our relationships. And so I want, again, that we would just focus for this whole month, and especially just now, right now, today, focus on a relationship that you have with somebody, and then I want us to compare that with our relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's many married folks here. Many, again, have been married before. And so, again, as we consider that, think about your relationship with your spouse, especially because that was what was pictured to be our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. There's no more intimate, no more intrinsic relationship than a husband and wife relationship. And that is just to be an illustration, a sample of the relationship that we are to have with the Lord Jesus Christ. And so just before we read our text, I'd ask you this question. Who was the first person you talked to this morning? I hope it was the Lord Jesus Christ. I hope, again, that first time you came to consciousness, that you had some thoughts, that the first thing you thought of was the Lord Jesus Christ, because thou shalt love the Lord thy God with all thy heart, with all thy soul, with all thy mind. And again, I guess we can do a little honesty. I do every morning. I tell, wake up, first thing I think is, Lord, my back still hurts. That's the first thing that I say. And Lord, you could fix that. And sometimes he's given me 3 more hours of sleep. But I think of the Lord every morning when I get up, and that's usually the first thing I tell him. And he's a friend, and he don't mind that again. Praise the Lord. I want that we would just focus on our relationship. Let's go ahead and take our scripture text here out of 1 John. Let's stand for the reading of God's Word again and stretch our bones a little bit. And some of you are out way too late last night. How many didn't get any sleep at all? Did the teens, did Zach and Olden get any sleep at all? A couple hours sleep, all right. Praise the Lord. Let's go ahead and look at 1 John chapter 1. Watch again for a relationship that he wants us to have in these first 4 verses. 1 John and chapter 4. That which was from the beginning, which we have heard, which we have seen, which are with our eyes, which we have looked upon, and our hands have handled of the word of life. And it's got a parenthesis here that says, for the life was manifested, and we have seen it, and bear witness, and show unto you that eternal life, which was with the Father, and was manifested unto us. I think of Hebrews chapter 2 there. It says, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the beginning was told of us of the Lord and was later showed again by those who heard him. And so here's again another testimony of that same witness and that same great salvation. Verse 3. That which we have seen and heard declare we unto you, that ye also may have fellowship with us. And truly our fellowship is with the Father and with His Son, Jesus Christ. These things write we unto you, that your joy may be full. Father, praise you for your word. Thank you that you've written some things down so that we could know the joy of a relationship with you. And as we'd explore that a little bit this morning from this text, I pray again that you touch our heart, anoint your words, and cause again that they'd cut to the dividing of the soul and spirit and bone and marrow. And Father, that you'd again get a hold of our lives even on this first day of the year in a whole new way. Cause again, Father, that our walk and talk would not only be different this week, but yea, perhaps this whole year. We'll give you the praise now for your effect on your word. In the name of Jesus Christ, we pray. Amen, amen. You may be seated. And as we begin again in this chapter with this discussion, I again want to emphasize what we've looked at earlier. And I think we've got a salvation testimony for most everyone in the room that step one for a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, with our Creator, is indeed that you are a born-again Christian. And again, to understand that, Romans 8 says, His Spirit bears witness with my spirit that I am a son of God. When we went through soul-winning classes that sometimes have come through town, one of the things they try and teach you to do, and then I disagreed with, is to try and, after a person gets saved, after they pray their little prayer, is talk them into the security of their soul. Talk them into eternal security. And then listen, if you need to talk somebody into eternal security, they probably didn't get it, all right? And so again, that's the job of the Holy Spirit of God. And so I'd rather, again, focus a little bit on talking them out of their salvation. To understand, again, that if it's real, again, that, hey, God moves in and does something in our heart. And I'm sure that our churches are filled with people who have been taught again to live the Christian life and to act Christian. And it's a hard act. But boy, to be Christian's easy again. And so again, I want to emphasize, the Bible says to work out your salvation with fear and trembling. And that's something that each individual has got to do. Your mom wishes she could do it for you. Your dad wishes they could do it for you. But that's something that each of us has to pillow our head with a comfort that we know, that we know that we know. These things are written that ye may know that you have eternal life. And so again, number one is salvation. And look how he words that even here, that we have a fellowship. So he's taking that beginning step and he's going to emphasize it here in this portion. But we want to go now again, even as John does in his first epistle, to our daily walk, our relationship, what that does for us, the difference that can make and should make in our life. And so I want you to think about for a minute, if you got up this morning and didn't talk to your wife, guys, and said, in fact, I've done this before. For a while I was having problems with my voice, and so the doctors tell people just to shut up. Don't say anything out loud for 2 or 3 days. Well, you'd like to try that again. And then when you do try something like that, as stupid as it may be, you test and see what kind of effect it has on your relationship, okay? If you're not going to talk out loud, then you'll have to find some other means of communication, because our relationships in our homes cannot exist without some form of communication. You think again about, we took Jackie home last night and we talked about a whole bunch of things in the car. But you know, after Jackie gets out, Beverly and I talk about things that we won't talk about in front of Jackie. Some things we talk about we probably shouldn't talk about in front of others. But there's an intimate relationship. There's things that happened at that wedding that we went to yesterday. Beverly, I love going to weddings. I'm kind of abnormal that way, probably. I like to revisit the vows that I made way back in 1971 and say, hey, praise the Lord, it's still good. Hallelujah. And I think it's good that we do that. Yesterday, the vows aren't something that I'd ever repeat to my wife the way they gave them. But it's still good to watch people get married. Deb got married here this last year, and boy, we just enjoyed administering the vows and rejoicing. And last night, you know, every time they tink on the little glass and they got a kiss, I think that's beginning training. I don't know if you noticed it last night, but every time every time any glass tank that Tracy and Deb kissed, I said, look, they got that down pat again. And so, again, it'd be good training for you. I forgot how I got off on this subject. But anyway, there's things that went on at that wedding, family things. I mean, it's all of our family up there. And so, and we talked about family all the rest of the way home and consider some things. There are some intimacy. There are some things that we share with each other because we're intimate with each other. And we know that that's locked in the car. Beverly doesn't know it quite as much as I do because sometimes I stand in the pulpit and spew out all kinds of stuff that I shouldn't say again. But listen, there's an intimacy in that we're sharing things that just belong to the two of us. And there's things that we can talk about together. If there's an area you can't talk about together as husband and wife, then see me later and we'll make some arrangement to get some counseling for you again, because there shouldn't be anything in our lives that we cannot approach and talk about together as husband and wife. But again, that relationship should be small compared to the relationship that you have with your Creator. That relationship is a picture of what God wants us to understand about what a relationship is. And so we need that, again, to illustrate this point. But listen, we ought to have an even greater relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. We have a greater intimacy, a greater ability to talk to the Lord Jesus Christ than we have to speak with an intimate, most intimate person in this world. That would be our spouse that we're with. And again, God wants that kind of intimacy in our relationship with Him. And my question here this morning is, how much of it does He have? I hope we'd all get a dipstick and measure our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ here and see if it needs to be filled up a little bit and anointed with holy oil from God. And so notice here again, he begins talking about this fellowship. I heard this definition of fellowship and it's helped me. Fellowship is like two fellows in a ship, okay? That doesn't help you if you're in two. It is not two fellas in a Ranger bass boat. That's different, okay? That's an entirely different thing. So it's two fellows in a ship again. In other words, we're both in the same situation. We're both thrust upon in life. We're both facing the same storm, the face calm, the same doldrums. We're both facing the same thing in life. And so we have fellowship. That's what we call, again, when you're on one of those sites that helps you find a mate. I forgot even what they're called anymore. The things in common, okay? Things that you have in common. And listen, once you're married, you got something in common already again. And you're in circumstances. And so that fellowship, again, is an intimacy that's described that, hey, we're both in this together. And think about that. Again, we can say that for our spouse, for our family, for our wives, for our best friends. But I want us that we would say that with the Lord Jesus Christ, we're both in this together. And when we're both in this together, notice both have some skin in the game. Both have, that's the wrong way to put that. I don't know a right way. Both of us have an investment in this relationship. And Jesus Christ has an investment in his relationship with you. And it's big, okay? So he's got already made an investment, and he's looking again that you would make an investment in the relationship as well. That it would cost you something, that there would be some sacrifice on your part. And all of those things, again, are certainly known, but I don't want to get stuck on that point without remembering what he said in John 15, I think it was, or somewhere right in there, that I'm not going to call you servants anymore. Now I'm going to call you friend. For I've showed you everything that my Father has shown me. I've shown it to you. And so now we're talking about an intimate friendship relationship. So let me read these verses here and then we'll go back on this idea of how long a relationship or how effective our relationships are in this world and then comparing it to what we have with Christ. Look at verse, we got down to verse 4 and notice the emphasis of why he's writing these things. Why is it important that we have a right relationship with God? I took out my marriage book that I have and went through that and said, man, that needs another revision. And Hope Biblical Counseling said that 99% of all marriage problems come because of a relationship problem. But it's not a relationship with each other that's a problem. It's having a intimate and real and long-standing relationship with your Creator. And if both of you have a relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, listen, marital problems will dissolve. They'll go away because we have our priorities and our relationships right. And so we want to talk about this relationship. Why? That your joy may be full. And joy is bigger than happiness. Joy is bigger than celebration that we did last night with getting together and just being happy and excited and thrilled. But joy is something that comes even through the deepest of sorrow. There's still a joy, an abiding joy in our life. And that's what John's aiming at here as he explains why we need to focus on this fellowship. Verse 5 of his text says, "This then is the message that we have heard of him and declare unto you that God is light and in him is no darkness at all." Imagine being always in the light. I spent some time in Alaska a year, and it was horrible to be always in the dark. And it wasn't that good to be always in the light. In the summertime, the sun don't set. In the wintertime, the sun don't rise. But listen, even in the summertime, it never gets overhead. It's just on the horizon, and it pops up, and you can see it. Listen, we live in this relationship so that it can be sunshine all the time. Remember when they came up out of Egypt, they had a pillar of fire by night, and it was bright as daylight. And they had I just read again the temple when they dedicated the temple. We have slides of the temple going up high up here. That Solomon again, and when he dedicated the temple, that the Shekinah glory of God showed up. And it was so bright. I just read again in Isaiah that he saw the glory of God, and the trail of the glory of God filled the temple. And as we consider that again, that God is light, and in him is no darkness at all. Verse 5 or verse 6, "If we say that we have fellowship with him and walk in darkness, we lie and do not the truth." God doesn't intend us to be in the dark. God has given us, there's a verse that says, where there is no vision, people perish. And a lot of people think that, oh, that depends on the pastor. He's got to have a vision for what he's doing, and that isn't vision at all. Right here's your vision, okay? It isn't some dream that you have. Where there is no vision, people perish. And that vision is the same thing that they gave of a prophet that stands and says, "Thus saith the Lord." And listen, any one of us now has this book. You can stand and say, "Thus saith the Lord." Right. And notice again that we have this vision, this communication here from God. And again, we have no business being in the dark about what's going on. Think about that. Your worry, your concern comes from the fact that you don't know what's going to happen next. And you're in the dark. People that are worried are in the dark. You're worried, you're all concerned about something that's going to happen because you don't know what's going to... You're living in the dark. And we've got no business as Christians living in the dark. God says he's got light for us here, and we should always be walking in the light. And even if we don't know what's going to happen next, we know who knows again. And so we're in him, abide in Christ, and there we are. And we are in the light. And if we say that we have fellowship with him and we're still stumbling around in darkness, we are liars. That's pretty strong language there, but there it is. And he goes on with that theme through our next 2 points. "But if ye walk in the light, as he is in the light, we have fellowship one with another, and the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanseth us from all sin." Notice we've begun with the precept that you're already a born-again Christian, and now we're dealing with this fellowship, this continual walking with him. You know what sin does is it breaks your fellowship with him. Jesus loves me when I'm good, when I do the things I should. But listen, Jesus loves you when you're bad, though it makes him very sad. You've broken fellowship with him when we're living in sin, when we're holding on to our sin, and when we're pursuing our sin. We're out of fellowship with God. We're in the darkness. And notice here again that he says, the blood of Jesus Christ, his Son, cleanses us from all sin. Stay in the light. Evaluate your every day and see how light it is out. Evaluate your every night and see how light it is out. That God is with us and he is light. Look at verse 8. If we say that we have no sin. I think he's just kind of leading on here. And he's hit this point again. Brother Calabretta emphasized this pretty good while he was here again preaching for us. That there are some people who think they have no sin. And what does this verse say about those such people? If we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. That's another polite way of saying liar, liar, pants on fire. Okay.
Right.
So notice again that we have sin in our lives and we need to get it cleaned up. And again, that breaks fellowship. So one of the things that I like to do, first talk with God every morning is, Lord, forgive me and help me to start over on this day. And praise the Lord again. He will forgive us our sin. Look at the next one, verse 9. Again, what we're so memorized in 1 John 1:9. If we confess our sins, he is faithful and just to forgive us our sins and to cleanse us from all unrighteousness. If we say that we have not sinned, we make him a liar and his word is not in us. So number one, again, in this relationship thing is notice again, we're looking for a fellowship with him. Number two, it's going to involve walking in the light as he is in the light. Number three, it's going to involve cleaning up our sin and getting it straight and keeping it straight so that we have a relationship with him that's ongoing. Think about your relationship with your spouse. And there's two things that's necessary in our relationship with God. And they are this. In our relationship with our spouse, it's communication. It's communication. And again, how well we communicate or how well we don't communicate, again, is a basis of how our relationship is going at any one time. When we clam up or hold things in, again, we've broken the communication lines. And it's going to fester. It's going to get worse. It's going to get. It's going to impact your relationship. Now think about that. How do you communicate with the Lord Jesus Christ? We need to communicate. I talked again about going for a season of time without speaking at all. And even when I did that fast of speaking again for 3 days, we found other ways to communicate, and some of them were kind of fun again. And so some of them involved physical touching. You can't yell and say, hey, come here, look at this. You got to go grab them again. And so everything became physical or writing things down. Beverly and I, again, when we were dating, we were separated. I was off to college and she was, I don't know what she was doing, milking cows or something. And boy, we wrote letters, and we just couldn't wait to get letters when I was in the military and separated. Boy, I just lived to get that letter, a writing from my honey. And listen, we've got to communicate with God. What's the two ways we're going to communicate with God? How are you going to talk to him in the morning? We call that prayer. And I don't want to make that this formal again. I don't want us to get stuck in saying, well, when we pray, we got to kneel down, fold our hands, bow our head, and then pray. Our praying should be talking with God. And we want to talk with God. That's our prayer, again, that we would ask him things. And again, that's one of his key messages on prayer and supplication and begging him for things and talking to him. But you got to talk to him. And then number two, he's got to talk to you. How's he going to do that? The Holy Spirit's not going to come and say, hey, no, he's going to speak through what he hears. And what he hears is going to be from this book. And so again, we've got to get in the habit of looking at things in God's Word and reading God's Word and hiding God's Word in our heart. I encourage all of our folks here to read your Bible through. Now listen, when I read my Bible through this year, you will find this extremely hard to believe, but there's a whole bunch of things there that I just didn't get. There's a whole bunch of things there that your pastor is confused about. There's some things there that may just leave me scratching my head saying, what in the world is this about? I'm not going to say that you'll understand it all. You don't have to. But as you read it, again, God will pick out the things that you need for that day. I'm always amazed. Beverly and I read, three chapters a day, and then we read a psalm. And it's always amazing how so many times that psalm just bolsters up what we had just read. And so we read a psalm a day and then a proverbs a day through 6 months, and then we repeat the whole thing and read psalms and proverbs one a day for the year. And boy, it's just amazing how many times that God just uses that to speak to me, to touch my heart, to make me think of something that I ought to be aware of or ought to communicate to somebody else. And so God speaks to us through His Word. And if you're starving for God's Word, you're starving in your relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ, and you just ain't got it. If all the communications you get with the Lord Jesus Christ is what you come here and sit in church and get, you're missing it. I was appalled at how many Christians, I was in a study group and a supposed Christian writer study group, so I mentioned the fact that we're reading our Bible all the way through again this year, five of them were there that had supposedly been saved and had never read their Bible cover to cover, never read their whole Bible through. And I said, well, what do you read? And they don't. They don't read their Bible. They never open the book. They bring it to church and there it sets. They don't even need to take it home. They can just leave it set in the pew at church because they ain't going to open it all week. And so again, that's your lifeline of communication. That's how we communicate with God. It's by our talking to Him, and He answers by His Word. Even when you ask Him a question and you're waiting for an answer, He's going to answer through the Holy Scriptures. That's why it's good to memorize Scripture. It's good to be familiar with it. Again, and He answers our prayers to Him when we're looking for a verbal response from God. Listen, it comes in the form of Scriptures, and it has these and thous in it too, so just deal with it again. So again, God uses His Word. It's quick and powerful. Quick means alive. It's been quickened, and it's powerful and sharper than any two-edged sword. God uses His Word on our lives. It's our communication. It's our lifeline. And so if you want to go 3 days without talking to your wife and see how that works out for you, again, understand this, that hey, how many times have we done that to God? And we're to love Him with all our heart, with all our soul, with all our mind. And so again, as we consider that, I just want again this next month focus on everything in the next few scriptures that we're going to look at on our relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. And let's start out this week by go ahead and taking a barometer and testing again how well we do as far as our relationship. Who's the first one you talk to in the morning? How many times a day do you talk to Him? You ever talk to Him while you're driving the car? Keep your eyes open by all means. But listen, we ought to have an ongoing communication with our Lord and our Savior. And that is a relationship that we want to see built up in these next few days. Let's open our Bible one more to Isaiah in chapter 5. This is going to be the negative side of that same message again, where we again understand that God expects us to be His friend, to walk through this life living in the light and being in the light. But even in that, I want again that we would look at some consequence of not doing that. Look at where it leads again when we refuse that walk with Him, when we spend our time in the darkness. Now, you might not get to a depth of six woes that's in Isaiah chapter 5, but understand this, that you're going to get into a depth, again, that's away from God. And it's very often hard to get back to a right relationship with God. Some of you have... I remember when you're teenagers and you're courting again, and you break up and you see her with talking to somebody else, and you think, oh no, this is it, the relationship's over again. And the jealousy and all the other things that's involved in teenage dating again. Some of you got to go way back to remember this. It wouldn't do you any harm to remember it, however, again, and to go back to that because you were in love. And in that relationship, you think again about how you just longed to be with them all the time. You longed to hear from them. And you were nervous when you didn't. Well, listen, the Bible says our God is a jealous God. And you picture that on His side again when He says us sees us running around with a Ranger basketball. I know that's the wrong time of the year, but when he sees us running around and all enthralled about something other than him, our God is a jealous God. And boy, we want to, again, make sure that our focus is on our relationship with him first. And again, once that stops, again, here we go with a bunch of woes that came upon the nation of Israel. Isaiah chapter 5 begins with a psalm, a song. I'd almost sing it to you. In fact, I think I did once from this pulpit. Now I will sing to my well-beloved a song of my beloved touching his vineyard. And there we have a description again of God's tender care for the nation of Israel. And yet we find, what did Israel do? And again, I want to personify this and bring this down to us and our relationship. All the things that God has done for us is pictured in all the things that God did for Israel. Now, I'll not detract from anything God has done or is going to do for Israel, but notice that we fit into this relationship picture. And so they turned their back on God, and it's appalling to read, again, the prophets that came just before Isaiah and understand how bad it is, and how could they do that? How could they turn their back on the living God? And start worshiping idols and images. And again, so that's what's captured God's attention here. Just look at these six woes that are given in Isaiah chapter 5. Look at verse 8. Woe unto them that join house to house, that lay field to field, till there be no place that they may be placed alone in the midst of the earth. Those are Syriots. I got that written in the margin of my Bible. They're related to idiots, but they're distant cousin, I think. Syriots. They live in the city. They got a city mentality. There it is. There's a woe again. And people band together. Think about that. What was the first sin after the flood? God destroyed the world in the flood and... There's Noah. Okay, Noah got drunk. Maybe the second sin, okay. What was the next sin of mankind? The city of Babel. They all got together in their city and they said, let's build a kingdom that will reach unto God. And so people are kingdom builders, and that's a woe. That's God says right here that, hey, there's a problem in that. Where we become so independent of God that we're going to live in our cities and dwell together. And so, first woe, kind of curious. Look at the next one, verse 11. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. Lots of times you stop at that. Woe, if you were a teenager, you stopped at that verse when you were a kid. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning. It's in the Bible. Check it out. You shouldn't do that again. Sleep in. Sleep till noon. Don't forget the second part here. Woe unto them that rise up early in the morning, that they may follow strong drink. And boy, it's all over in America today. And not only is it strong drink, now they're shooting every kind of drug you can imagine into their bodies. And again, as we consider that, again, notice again the waste of that. But here, notice the woe of that. That if you don't have... your relationship with God, you're going to have a relationship with something else. And if you have a relationship with God, He can erase all sorrow. And if you don't have a relationship with God, you're going to seek for something that will drown all your sorrow. And so again, that's a big deal in America. And now we've gone further and let's legalize every other drug there is so that we can just drown our lives and kill our brain cells. Woe unto them, the Bible says, verse 11. Look at verse 20, or verse 18. Woe unto them that draw iniquity with cords and vanity, and sin as if it were with a cart rope. I can't believe the sodomite agenda has taken root just in the past, 4 years at least. And I don't see any way of getting it out. I mean, the liberals are just scared to death that Trump's going to do something that wouldn't be politically correct about sodomites, about marriage, about bathrooms, about all the vulgar things that our society is immersed in now. Think about the iniquity that's involved there. God calls it an abomination, and yet we call it an alternate lifestyle. God hates it. And again, we're almost afraid to say that out loud today because, man, you could be thrown in jail for saying that. Up in Canada, you can be thrown in jail for reading portions of Scripture right out of your Bible. You go stand on the corner and read Scriptures about sodomy and sodomites and men with men working that which is unseemly. There's a whole list of texts they have highlighted. And if you read these in public, you can be thrown in jail. Wow. Listen, we're not very far from that. At least we didn't used to. We weren't. After January 20th, I think we're going to be quite a bit further away from that than we used to be because Babylon has fallen. But listen, we're not very far from that. And notice again, it's just drawing iniquity. There's a verse over in Romans 1 that talks about being of a reprobate mind. I've done a big study on what it means to be of a reprobate mind. And you and I could be of a reprobate mind. A reprobate mind is that you wouldn't know the truth if it hit you between the eyes. And listen, we can get that way pretty quick. And so we can deceive ourselves and until we think that hey, this is okay. This is just an alternate lifestyle. And again, they're deceived to that till they wouldn't believe the truth if they could see it. If you think about the tomfoolery of that very act, notice that it makes no sense whatsoever, but yet it's promoted by all our scientists in America to be politically correct that, hey, that's perfectly alternative. And so, notice again that they're drawing iniquity and vanity with cords of vanity and sin, as it were, with the cart rope. They're attached to it. And again, we can get the same way in our life. I want to preach another message on diet soda since the New England Journal of Medicine just came out and said diet soda is making you obese. And it produces obesity and it produces a whole list of things again. But I don't want to get on that hobby horse because I've made people really mad because they live for it. And my doctor told me to drink diet soda. Your doctor's an idiot again. So again, understand when you dump any kind of chemical into your body, there is a cost. When you dump any kind of preservative in your body, there is a cost. And you might think you're getting away with it. But again, understand that when we trick our body with chemicals and deceit so that our red meat stays red longer, again, understand that there's a cost for that. And it's in our health issues. Well, let's get off of that one. And again, sometimes we get to where we can't see the truth, and the truth actually makes us mad when we hear it. And so it is with this, those that draw iniquity with cords. Verse 20, woe unto them that call evil good and good evil. Right down the same lines, right down the same description to those same sins that we call good. They was trying to pass a law. I forgot which governor it was. Was trying to pass a law that the only kind of sodas allowed in our school is diet sodas. And now they come out with a study that says, oh, diet soda is the worst thing you can do for your body, and it's killing us. And now they had a law on the books that says the only soda we dangle in front of our kids is the deadly sodas. So notice again that we call good evil and evil good. Verse 21, woe unto them that are wise in their own eyes and prudent in their own sight. Verse 22, woe unto them that are mighty to drink wine. Isn't it interesting? He has that twice in here. Mighty to drink wine and men of strength to mingle strong drink. And so, notice again, especially, I mean, I'm in the military. One of the guys up at the wedding last night is in the military. And it's hoo, hoo, hoo. It's a manly thing to put down shots and to stay standing longer than anybody else. What kind of stupidity is that? How much poison can you put in your body and still stand up? Men of strength, it says here again. And I think of the military again, where that's toted again as brandished as an attaboy again, of a thing of merit that you can hold your drink. And so there's the woes. And listen, our society just reeks with them. But listen, pay attention here. We could have the same way as our society. Even a born-again Christian can get tangled in some of these things, and again, until where they won't see the truth and they're just in rebellion of God and they can be of a reprobate mind. Yes, they're born again, but they can still be of a reprobate mind and they grit their teeth and they will not answer to the truth. Don't go there. Don't be there. Let's work on a relationship that we have with the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's talk to Him first in the morning when we get up. And let's, again, just develop that relationship the more and more as we walk through this new year that God has been gracious enough to give us. Father, praise You again and thank You. Thank You again, Father, for Your Word. Thank You again, Father, for sending Your Son. Thank You again that we can hold hands with the nail-pierced hand of Your Son, our Savior. Father, as we again consider the nobility of that You'd again help us to be noble Christians walking through this week, yea, through this year. And Father, that You'd help us develop a right relationship with one another, but especially, Father, that we'd have that right relationship with You. We'll give You the praise in the name of Christ we pray it. Amen, amen. Let's stand and sing 308. Rich, maybe you could come and play that for us. All to Jesus I surrender. My clock says that was a 40-minute message, which was too long. What is that, 308 in our songbooks? As you sing the words of this song, let's talk to Him. Let's tell Him these words again and start that relationship even today.